Welcome back to Ecology is Everywhere, the podcast about environmental education and the places it takes us. I'm your host, Philip Matthew.
My name is Scott Corsell. I run Alchemy Gardens, which is a small vegetable farm, organic vegetable farm in southern Vermont.
This episode is special for a couple reasons. First, it's the first episode I've been able to record in person since way back in January, albeit outdoors and at a distance. That was a really nice change of pace, but did come at the expense of a little bit of background noise, so apologies in advance for the interrupting swallows. Second, this episode was recorded on-site at Riverbend Farm, the Ecology School's new home. Riverbend is a historic 105-acre farm located on a scenic bend in the Saco River. When construction on the campus is completed later this year, it will be one of the most innovative and sustainable educational campuses in the entire country. Now, if that's coming as news to you, that's okay. Because in the coming weeks, we're going to start to go beyond just speaking with former educators and meet some of the people currently working at or with the Ecology School. My guest this week is a great transition, because not only is Scott a former educator and the current head of Alchemy Gardens, but he's working with the Ecology School to start setting up the fields that will eventually not only be a teaching tool, but be the primary source of food served on site. I asked him to introduce us to Riverbend Farm as he sees it.
So the farm has just amazing soils. It happens to be a flat spot down on the river down there that lends itself perfectly to larger scale food production. So there's a few usable acres down there. I'm focusing on the crop fields. Previously, they've been in hay production for a good stretch, as far as I understand. But we're converting the best field into crop production fields for meeting the Ecology School's needs. To meet the targets of what they've grown in the past, it's not going to take very much of that footprint to grow that food. But then it'll basically be divided into four rotating plots, two of which every summer will be in soil building crops, so cover crops, legumes and grass crops that can be then, you know, incorporated and building soil fertility over time.
Right.
So you really have the room to do it properly, which is exciting.
Yeah. And that's just one of many fields available to us here.
Yeah. So then the rest of the place is just, you have a lot of great soils here. You have endless potential for food production. A lot of the space is too steep for annual vegetable production.
Okay.
So you're kind of hilly here and, you know, you want to prevent soil erosion wherever possible. So a lot of this land just wouldn't lend itself well to what we're doing in vegetable production at all, but it lends itself fantastically for orcharding, you know, fruit production, berry production, perennials of all sorts, food forest types of things, all sorts of exciting opportunities all over the place. Yeah.
From when you got that contact from Drew and Rich saying like, hey, we're still really interested in doing this too. Today you're actually starting to plant some things. What's that process like?
The process of getting a farm operation up and started, you know, a lot of it can be done in front of my computer. So it's a lot of, you know, working through spreadsheets, building Excel spreadsheets to look at how much you're looking to yield, over what time frame, how much space you have available, all these sorts of things. So I can do a lot of this work remotely as far as like starting to build the systems required to have a functioning commercial scale farm operating here. And then the on the ground work, we had a local farmer from Leary Farm. They came and plowed the field that we're working up this year. I guess it was about a month ago that they came and plowed the field when it was finally dry enough to get in there and do that. So they're basically just cutting the sod and flipping it on its head. That's what you're doing when you're plowing. And then from there, he came back one more time 2 weeks later with a set of disc harrows, which is basically what it kind of what it sounds like. It's a bunch of discs that sort of work against each other. You drag them through the soil and they chop up the sod into strips and start to even things out. And so he did that after leaving things. So he plowed, waited 2 weeks, because it's good to allow the smothering process to not be interrupted for a couple of weeks. So basically all that sod is looking for sun, looking for moisture, its roots are up in the air, its leaves are, you know, underground, undercover. So you're allowing it to smother pretty well. And then after that 2 week period, you can start working it to further break it up to, you know, expose the roots more to being able to dry out, to get killed and things like that. So he disc harrowed it. And then, we just got this really great tool on the farm here. It's a 3-in-1 cultivator. Mm-hmm. They're, often people refer to them as Perfecta. That's one of the companies that makes them. This one is not a Perfecta, but it's the same design. And so I've been out twice now on the field, just continuing that process of trying to dry out and kill the sod.
Right.
So that's where we're at this point. In the next couple of weeks, we will spread a bunch of soil amendments, minerals and rock dust and a bunch of carbon in the form of humate and biochar, some inoculants, and then some fertilizer. And that will be followed with a crop of, most likely, I haven't dialed it in entirely, but it'll be primarily a mixture of sorghum Sudan grass and cowpeas. And they'll just put on like extraordinary growth and build right. all sorts of organic matter in the soil.
So this, in sort of the abbreviated version, this year is sort of about ending its life as a hay field and giving it its first cycle.
That's right.
In that new rotation.
Yep. And oftentimes when, you know, commercial farms are doing this thing, they this type of thing, they might be a little more hasty in trying to get it plowed and cultivated and planted all in the same year.
Right.
You guys have the opportunity to like really do it right and get a substantial cover crop on it before starting to try to grow food there.
Sure.
That said, we are going to grow a small portion of the garden. We'll grow some food this fall when it's ready, just to have something productive happening.
Tell me a little bit about sort of what your trajectory has been, where you started out, where the ecology school fit into that.
I got my degree in environmental science and with a focus in natural resources, and briefly after college had a job with the Student Conservation Association, where I worked down on Martha's Vineyard for the Nature Conservancy as a plant monitor. And while I was living down on Martha's Vineyard doing that work, I met some folks that actually had a connection to Drew, and I wasn't really exactly sure what I was going to do next, and they were just really excited about environmental ed, which was something that I hadn't really thought that much about. But they were like, yeah, you should go try it out. You would, you know, they'd be happy to hire you, and so I almost took a job in Washington and instead decided to come and work at the ecology school in 2006. So I was there for 4 terms. I met my wife there. So she came and worked the fall of 2006. And when we finished working at the ecology school, we moved back to Vermont and took these AmeriCorps Vista jobs in Montpelier. And we got a community garden plot that summer and got super interested in growing stuff. We were spending all of our time. We'd work all day and then be in the garden until dark. And we had a super productive garden our first year. We had this tiny apartment in Montpelier, and like every spare inch was covered in produce by the end of August. We were just so inspired by this idea of like how much food we could grow on a 20 by 20 footprint, that we decided that the next thing we should do is go and try working on a farm. So we found an apprenticeship down closer to where I'm from in Rutland, and worked for this great farmer. We spent a season on his farm and then got to know folks at the farmer's market and weren't really sure what our farming path was moving forward. And one of the vendors at the market, we were looking for a home garden, And he kept encouraging us to come out to his place. And we finally made it there at the end of the summer. And he showed us this like acre and a half parcel. We were thinking of it like a really small home garden. And he was like, no, this would be perfect for you guys. This would be just the right amount. And so he kind of encouraged us to get our farm business started. And he provided tractors and implements and his wash area. He gave us an old greenhouse frame, let us use his walk-in cooler. So basically we were able to start our farm with no financial risk, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And so we started going to the farmer's market that following spring. When I look back at pictures of what we brought and what that looked like, we probably weren't quite ready to start going to the market, but we also wouldn't have learned as quickly if we hadn't just jumped into it and done it. And so this is our 11th season operating Alchemy Gardens, and it's grown a lot, and it's in a pretty good place at the moment. We transitioned from that initial farm onto a piece of land much nearer to our home because we were traveling like half an hour from our home in Shrewsbury to West Rutland. We still operate a garden out there because it's a lot warmer microclimate. So we're at like 1800 feet at our home farm, and it's really cold. So growing things like peppers and eggplant and tomatoes and melons is not a good bet at our home farm. So we still continue to do those crops at the garden 12 miles away. But basically we eventually were able to find some land to grow on, and that place is for sale. We finally just had some people that have put an offer on it that looks like we're going to have some long-term security there, which is great, but it was very uncertain for a while. And so we were kind of freaking out, and my wife put something on social media, and Rich and Drew saw it and shortly after got in touch and said, hey, we're still trying to make this farm thing happen at Riverbend, and we'd love for you to come and help us make that happen. And so I'm here doing that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I guess the only thing we didn't really touch on earlier when talking about your background is how education continues to be a part of that.
Yeah.
What's sort of the story of that? How does that fit into this journey?
Sure. So let's see. So, you know, coming out of having met here at the ecology school, environmental education has just always been sort of central to our mission of our business. And so, you know, we've always worked with the local schools a lot. Kids come out for field trips and, you know, work with us on the farm at some capacity. And then several years ago, the place where we live was sort of, there was a transition in ownership, and I should say there was a transition in occupancy, and the owner of the place, which is a 95-acre farm with two homesteads on it, we live in one of them, they were looking to do something creative with the place. And so we helped them form SAGE. We're working with our the local elementary school right in town. We have Shrewsbury Mountain School. And their district consolidated a few years ago, and each school took on a specific focus so that kids from any of those towns can go to any of the three schools.
Cool.
Depending on what their parents, you know, are excited about, what the focus is. And Shrewsbury's focus is sustainability. And so we're working really closely with them. We're developing a composting program with them, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Where the kids will actually be doing most of the work to create finished compost in a four-bin system, and using that for all sorts of curriculum. You know, there's so much data collection opportunity and just observation and science learning around the compost piece. And we're also, they have a pretty substantial garden that we're helping them develop and revamp a little bit.
Right. Most students, when they come to the ecology school, are only here for a couple days or a week at most.
Sure.
What kinds of opportunities does actually having a sort of more permanent connection with a school create?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think there is that continuity. These are kids that, you know, we know to some degree from around town. It's a pretty small, close-knit community. And so the program that we're developing will be each class will have a responsibility around the composting system and around the gardens. Some of that will, you know, include producing food to be eaten in the lunchroom. We have a program called Harvest of the Month, where there's a focus every month that the kids are in school, when they get back to school.
Right.
We highlight a particular vegetable or food item that, you know, we did maple syrup, I guess. A food item that is produced locally. And so we go into the school and create a simple recipe with one of the classes that then gets served in the lunchroom that day. And so really trying to make those connections of, you know, that food is produced in our communities and can be produced in our communities. And so, yeah, I think just that continuity, we're going to have these kids coming in, you know, pre-K. Those students are going to have, my daughter is a pre-K student right now, which is great timing that we're getting these projects started because she gets to be sort of involved. But, you know, we're going to be working with these kids every year. And I think just having that long-term sort of involvement with the school is a great opportunity.
Thank you to Scott Corsell for being my guest this week. Hopefully we'll get a chance to check in with you again later this summer. This podcast was brought to you by The Ecology School, a nonprofit inspiring stewardship of and connection to the natural world through nature-based living lessons about ecology, conservation, farming, and sustainability. You can learn more at theecologyschool.org. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our next episode. Until then, I'm your host and producer, Philip Matthew. Thanks for listening.
Is this messing with you if I'm showing
up? No, I don't think so.
Okay.